wake up and it is like a monsoon outside. Dying lightning, thunder, torrential rain to the point that like I stepped outside and it was like over my ankles. I'm like, oh my gosh, we are not getting home in this. This is not going to happen. And it didn't stop.
On this episode, we're going to talk about the pros and cons of flying with young children, how flying with a lap child can save you money on the cost of their ticket, and why it's important to pack lots of extra snacks and lots of extra diapers. I hope you brought along a good pair of noise-canceling headphones because it's about to get loud and whiny. And the back of your seat may be repeatedly kicked for the duration of your flight. Ugh.
You're listening to the Travel Horror Stories Podcast, a show that listens to real stories from travel bloggers and travelers just like you. Then we unpack those stories to discuss safety tricks, prevention treats, horror hacks, and follow-up tactics. The goal is to turn travel nightmares into dreams of beaches, sunshine, and margaritas.
And as always, you can head over to TravelHorrorStoriesPodcast.com for this and all the previous episodes, their show notes, and links to all the other places you enjoy listening to podcasts. If you're listening via Apple Podcasts, don't forget to give the episode a 5-star rating and leave a comment, because that will help more people find the show.
Coming to you live from the Rudderless Travel Studio in downtown Toronto, Canada, here is your host, Christopher Rudder!
Oh my gosh. Okay, that was wicked. The weather outside is cold, but it could be worse. I don't think it's quite seasonal, but either way, you can't wear shorts. That said, during my morning 8K walk, I did notice a dude wearing a t-shirt and a toque walking into a Starbucks, and I thought, well, you know, as long as the heat is not escaping through his head, I guess it's okay. He was with some blonde girl, and it looked like they could be a new couple, and it looked like she had just spent the night for the first time. And he was just showing off, you know, just showing off. I know this because once you've been in a relationship for a while, you stop showing off and you're more like, I already got the girl. No need to show off. It's cold outside. I'm wearing a jacket. I don't give a fuck if you think I'm a wuss. Anyways, as I record this, Toronto is in a lockdown, second wave, COVID-19, blah, blah, blah. So much fun, especially as we head towards Christmas. But I'm so glad you are all spending some time with me because riding shotgun, I got a really, really good friend of mine, Mr. Kevin Wager from the Wondering Wagers. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing awesome, Chris. It is so great to be here. Any day I get a chance to talk to you is the best day of my life.
Okay, I'll slip you $20 later. All right. So before we get into what your blog is about, I seem to remember watching a video of you tossing your kids down sand dunes. So can you explain that? And how does Children's Aid feel about stuff like that? Just curious.
I don't tell them, Chris. I keep that. Well, I kept that to myself until now. Thank you.
Is there a knock on your door right now?
I like to characterize my job as I throw my kids off mountains and then I take pictures of them screaming on the way down. So that pretty
That's
much sums
pretty
it
accurate.
Up.
Yeah, I would say so.
but luckily they're a couple of goers and they absolutely they love getting into the crazy stuff like sandboarding and ziplining and skiing and snowboarding and all that stuff. It's what really jazzes them up.
Yeah, and it is a lot of fun to see your videos. So tell us about your blog, actually.
Like you mentioned, I write about family travel mostly. I tend to focus on the adventure stuff. We travel a lot with our kids. So we will take our kids out of school for, you know, a few weeks at a time, a few times during the year. So we try to travel to places that kind of combine a little bit of education, a little bit of action, adventure, experience, culture, all that stuff, so that we can kind of get a full range of experiences from the places that we visit. And we go to awesome places like Peru and Iceland, Jordan, Portugal, you know, anywhere where we can just have a totally awesome and unique, mind-blowing experience, learn a lot, and come away. How I like to feel is come away feeling like we know more about the people and the place that we went to, and knowing more about ourselves having experienced that.
Yeah, nicely put. Now, why weren't my parents like that? Just take me out of school and whisk me away to some kind of foreign country. Because I always say you learn more. I feel you learn more outside the classroom, to be honest, when you're like hands in it. And, you know, that's the best kind of learning experience for me. Same goes for travel.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. My parents were both teachers. So I also did not get the worldwide travel while I was young, but, you know, doing it now is super awesome, and seeing them grow and learn and, you know, lose inhibitions and prejudices and things like that along the way. It's just super awesome.
Beautiful. Well put. Let's play a little game before we get started. This game is called, Three Stories, Two Truths, One Lie. So you come up with three stories. Two of them are true, one of them is a lie, and I'm going to try to figure out which one is the lie.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Give me a second. The hardest one to come up with. Okay. All right. I think I got one. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Two truths, one lie. All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. When I was in Cuba, I had a man ask me for my glasses.
Okay.
Because in Cuba, people ask you for things all the time.
Okay.
I ended up not giving him my glasses, but instead I traded my brand new t-shirt with him for his old ratty t-shirt.
Okay. All right.
When I was in Iceland, my dry suit, When I was scuba diving in Iceland, my dry suit had a valve failure, and I ended up bobbing upside down in the middle of glacier waters with my feet sticking out of the top.
What the hell? Okay.
When I was in Puerto Rico, I was going the wrong way down a one-way street.
Okay.
And when I got pulled over, I turned it into a police escort back to my hotel.
What the hell? Oh, man.
Which one's the truth and which one's the lie?
Damn. To be honest with you, they all sound like lies. Okay. I'm going to go with you in the wetsuit bobbing upside down with your feet in the air.
That is correct. It was a lie.
It
was my wife.
Damn! Nice twist. Oh my gosh. Okay, so the other ones are real.
Yeah, the other ones are real. When I was in Cuba, you know, when you travel around Cuba, everyone asks you for everything under the sun because they just don't have anything there. So if you travel there, bring lots of stuff that you can give away. And I was waiting at a stop for a bus ride, and some guy came up and he was like, "Hey man, can I have your glasses?" And I was like, "No." You can't have my glasses because I need those to see. And he was like, "Well, can I have your t-shirt?" And I was like, "Well, I can give you my t-shirt, but then I don't have anything to wear." And he said, "I'll give you my t-shirt." And I said, "That's great." And so we traded each other's t-shirts.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you know what? Little side note, I kind of cheated because I heard that story before.
Ah, you
told me that story before, so I knew that one was true. Okay, so the other
so
one.
The Puerto Rico one was, I was driving around this little town in Puerto Rico, and it was all these like tiny little one-way streets. Like one-way streets that were only big enough for one car, but there was no signs telling you that it was a one-way street until another car that knows the rules starts coming in the other direction down the street. So I got myself completely turned around, and I was driving the wrong way down this tiny little one-way street, and then a police car comes up in front of me, And he didn't speak English and I didn't speak Spanish. And somehow he understood that I was completely lost and I had no idea what I was doing. So he ended up escorting me like 50 clicks back to my hotel. And so I bought him a drink and we had a little language barrier chat for a while. He was great.
Language barrier chat. What does that involve? Sign language?
Just a whole lot of grunting and banging things together. We understood each other. It was good. And the last one was in Iceland. So we were scuba diving in this place called Silfra, which is a really incredible scuba diving location in Iceland. And we had never used dry suits before, my wife and I. And so we went in, and I guess the company that we were with, they had screwed something up on my wife's dry suit, and there's a little valve that you're supposed to be able to kind of move your shoulder, and it releases air so that you don't blow up like a marshmallow while you're in this dry suit. And hers got stuck, so air went into the suit and nothing came out. So I was noticing she was having a lot of trouble, and then finally we get kind of close to the end of the dive, and I turn around and I just saw two little legs poking up the top of the water like this, and her hands spinning around underneath there. And I laughed first because I'm a terrible person, but having to go over and pull her right side up and drag her to shore so it was a two dive experience. And she did not come out for the second dive. She
I don't blame her.
But so I felt bad for her, but it was really funny to see.
Yeah, you couldn't resist. I know you can't resist a funny thing happening to us. All right, no, that's awesome. Thank you so much for playing along.
Hey, no worries, man. That was fun. I like those.
What would you do if your typical flight from Toronto to Jordan suddenly turned into a 3-day marathon of stress and fatigue due to the airline's mismanaged flights and the bad weather? Oh, and don't forget to add 2 young children to the mix. That's exactly what happened to my friend Kevin. So, Kevin, I mean, how did this all begin? I'm sure it started from a good place, right?
It was totally awesome. We were so amped. This was our first major trip abroad out of the Americas, heading into the Middle East to visit Jordan. Our kids were just under 2. My youngest one turned 2 during the trip, and my oldest one was 4.5.
Wow.
So we decided we were going to make the flight from Toronto through Chicago to Amman and spend about 10 days exploring Jordan, which was an absolutely phenomenal, mind-blowing, top-of-the-line trip. It was absolutely amazing. Can't recommend it enough, except for the flight. And it didn't start well from the beginning. I'll just both ways, both directions were among my worst flight experiences.
Okay, so take us to the very beginning then.
Okay, so first time my youngest son, my oldest son, I'll start off with there, he was a dream to travel with. Loved being carried, loved the kid carrier, just being up and high and looking around and loving every minute of it and high-fiving everyone in the plane. But when we started traveling with our younger son, he's more of a everyone else is walking, I want to walk too kind of guy. So I got into the airport and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to breeze through this airport. I'm going to throw him up in the kid carrier. It's going to be awesome. And then he just hated it. He's like, no, I'm not going in that thing. So I literally hauled this kid carrier all the way there and barely even had a chance to use it.
Oh, no.
But we get booked onto the flight, no problem, going from Pearson into O'Hare. And we got separated. So my wife and my oldest son were a few rows away. I was back a few rows with my youngest son. And he just didn't want to be with me, so he screamed bloody murder for 2 hours. on this early morning flight. And so I just felt terrible. It was the first time I'd ever had a child that was just kind of not happy about a flight. But all he wanted
was basically,
mommy.
You're that one that I can't stand when I'm on the plane and they have their children just screaming and crying and carrying on. And you're that person there.
I like to think that I was the guy that you should have felt sorry for. Because, I'm getting punched. I'm getting kicked, I'm getting bit, I'm getting drooled on.
Fair enough. Different perspectives for different people. Okay, fine. I never really looked at it from that perspective. All right, fine, fair enough. Okay, carry on.
and then things got interesting, because as we got into O'Hare, we were supposed to have had a nice long layover. I think we were supposed to have like a 3-hour layover, comfortable, make sure all the gear gets through and everything. But unfortunately, the air company that we were flying with didn't really understand the ins and outs of flying with a lap child. So if any of you don't know what flying with a lap child is, basically it means that if you fly with a child under 2 years old, you don't have to pay the full ticket price. Sometimes you pay nothing. Sometimes you just pay the taxes and the child just sits on your lap rather than getting a seat to themselves for the whole trip. Okay. And that's kind of the situation that we ended up.
Okay.
But the geniuses decided that the seats that we had booked, knowing the rules of flying, weren't proper, and they booked us into an exit row. You cannot have a baby in an exit row because they don't know how to work the emergency exit doors. So of our 3-hour layover on the way there, 2 hours was spent trying to figure out how to get us moved around without getting us completely thrown off the flight, because these geniuses decided that that they knew better than we did where to put a kid on a flight.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Anyways, we got there. We had an amazing time. It was incredible. We had Petra all to ourselves. It was beautiful. We slept in the desert under the stars in Wadi Rum. We rode camels. It was magical. We had tea with Bedouins in their houses in a small village. It was beautiful. I loved it. And then we had to go home. And that's when things got really interesting.
Oh, no.
So then we started on our way back. And the way back from Amman to Toronto is where things got really messy. Our flight was delayed
2 hours.
So on top of also having to fight again because the geniuses at this air company decided to put us with a lap child in the exit row again on the way back, we argued, we fought, we cried, we gnashed our teeth, and then finally, with like 30 minutes left, they managed to get us through and into the flight onto O'Hare. From then, we're on the plane. Everything's good. Got a nice meal, little squishy food things, a bun, some juice. It's delicious. Some cookies. And
so, were the cookies for you or for the kids? I'm a little
We were then 2 hours late getting in, and then we only had a 2.5-hour layover on the other side.
So let me ask you a question. So in you said you flew into Chicago, right?
Into Chicago.
So you had already a layover there.
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but that most of that layover was you trying to deal with them and changing your seating.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So instead of being able to eat and relax and all that stuff, we literally spent the whole time arguing with the gate people, never had a chance to eat. So didn't end up eating for like probably, 7 hours, I think, in that first day of travel, which sucks, especially when you got little kids. Luckily, we're smart enough. We pack like lots of snacks for the kids.
Right. Excellent.
But,
And then, so now on the way back, you're in another layover. So it's 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it's the exact same thing again. So you're dealing with the same kind of nonsense.
Right. So we ended up heading into O'Hare. We got there. The flight was slow in the air and there was also, I think, some issues on the ground. So we didn't end up landing until, I think, 3.5 hours after our original arrival. So, of course, we get there. There was nobody in the airport.
And your flight, you missed your flight, obviously.
We missed our connection flight to Toronto. There was nobody in the airport. There was nothing. We're like, well, what do we do? I mean, there's nobody to talk to. So I called the airline company, and they were just super horrible to deal with. They basically said, we don't care. This is not our problem. This is your problem. You shouldn't have been on our flight that had a mechanical delay. And
oh my gosh, wow. Okay.
So we figured out when the next flight was. It was going to be at 7 a.m. I think it was currently about, I think, midnight, 12:30, something like that. And so, you know, the kids had been up for all day pretty much. Now, this is another 8-hour difference. I don't think either of the kids slept on the plane for some reason because they were too wired to get home. And, up for 24 hours and plus, and figured we'd just get the airport hotel. We ended up staying at the airport hotel, getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning so that we could catch the 7:30 flight that we booked out of O'Hare to get into Toronto. We wake up and it is like a monsoon outside.
No.
Lightning, thunder, torrential rain to the point that like I stepped outside and it was like over my ankles.
Oh my gosh,
we are not getting home in this. This is not going to happen. And it didn't stop. So, you know, our flight got delayed and then delayed and then delayed.
Of course,
and then we finally contacted the airline. They said, okay, well, you know, there's not much that we can do here. So just spend the night and then you can get a flight out at 6 the next morning to Montreal.
Oh, gosh.
At this point, I just said, you know what? At least if we get to Montreal, we're in Canada. So let's just step closer.
Go.
Yeah. I know if I can get to Montreal, I can just rent a car and I'll just make the five and a half hour drive to Toronto.
Oh my gosh.
And, I've driven that enough that I could do it with my eyes closed. So let's just get there. So we managed to get into Montreal. We get there, another storm, flight's delayed again for 3.5 hours.
Are you kidding me? Like a same kind of weather, like monsoon or different?
It was like a windstorm or something. at this point, I was just too tired to care. I was just like, whatever, man. Just wake me up, throw me on the plane. I was basically just carrying the two kids around in a duffel bag so that they could sleep. And my wife was just delirious with sleep and hunger and all this stuff. And then finally we ended up getting a flight out of Montreal and got home. And I was 2 days late for work.
Oh my gosh.
So I dropped my kids off at home and then just went to the office.
Are you serious?
and went to work and then just pulled a 10-hour day, and then went home and cracked a beer and fell asleep.
Oh my God, that is nuts.
This segment is brought to you by GPS My City. Do you love exploring cities on foot at your own pace? Well, GPS My City's mobile apps, available on iOS and Android, feature self-guided city walks and GPS-powered travel articles written by travel bloggers and travel content creators for over 1,000 cities worldwide. Visit the link in the show notes to learn more.
Okay, so where do we begin to like unpack this story? And to try to figure out like what could be done differently and what could be, you know, like, I mean, obviously we know you can't control the weather. So
you cannot control the weather. 100%.
I tried. I just end up getting struck by lightning.
Yeah.
Now, and it hurts. So how, maybe we could talk about tips on how to prepare for travel in the first place. I mean, with regards to maybe right from the beginning, like when you're booking your flight, and keeping kids in mind I noticed you mentioned packing extra snacks and then like when you get to the airport, like how early are you getting there? Like, what are you doing there? Like, are you talking with the kids? Are you trying to, like, what's that whole process like from booking and then getting to the airport for parents that are thinking about taking their children on a plane. But they might not want to after hearing this story, but...
You know what? Before I go any further, it was worth it. The trip was amazing. It was magical. It was everything I had ever hoped for. It was absolutely 100% worth all the pain that we went through. Still one of the best trips of my entire life.
And I've seen and I've read the Jordan Post, and Kevin has some fantastic photography. So, yes, it's when you see the place, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, that is beautiful. I guess that is kind of worth it.
But, you know, these things happen. And the honest truth with this trip is that there wasn't really anything more I think I could have reasonably done to prepare for this trip. I mean, every screw up was on the airline side and it was not on ours. Right. Okay. And the thing is, when it comes to airlines, you really don't have a lot of control. I mean, they can switch your seats. You can book them. You can even pay to book your seat. And they can say, I know you paid for it, but we're just going to keep your money and put you in a different seat that's not as good as that one, because airlines suck. Except for the ones who sponsored me, who are awesome.
Side note, yes. Okay. Except for you guys. You guys are okay. For the rest of you.
You suck. You're cool. You suck.
Okay, so how do you prepare for your trips then when you're taking your kids? Because I'm sure it's not the same as me preparing for my trips.
I mean, it's not a huge difference, but the big thing is we always try to give ourselves extra time. We always want to make sure that, you know, in anticipation of issues like this, that we're at the airport a little bit early so that we can relax and be calm and get ready and, you know, let the kids watch a movie or listen to an audiobook or play some cards with them or whatever. Everything's better than the panic of worrying that you might miss your flight.
Right. I agree. Okay.
So, you know, if it's just me, I don't mind strolling up to the airport 30 minutes before a flight with a carry-on bag and walking on like a breeze. But if I'm traveling with my kids, I'm there, you know, usually an hour extra early, and then I'm waiting around just trying to make the best of it while I'm there.
So 3 hours ahead, you're usually there.
It's not rare. It's not rare, especially for flights around busy times.
Right, you know, gotcha. Makes sense.
You got to take into the fact that, you know, kids aren't always experienced going through security and, dealing with all the idiosyncrasies that happen at an airport. So being as prepared and giving them as much time as possible is the best route.
And you said that you pack snacks. So, like, what kind of things can you pack and what's enough or what's too little? And, like, what kind of things are okay that you can bring through security? Because I know that they get really finicky about like the size of water you could bring through and all kinds of nonsense like that. So what kind of snacks are you bringing through like customs and all that?
Anything that's not gels or liquids is pretty much fair game. You can bring
granola bars,
crackers, snacks, cookies, jellies, fruit bars, fruit itself, you can actually usually bring on even international flights as long as you don't bring it through customs. So we'll pack, we'll pack just about anything. Usually a good chunk of one of our backpacks is just full of snacks and food. Another thing that people traveling with kids might need to bring is diapers, which out of on our way back because I was not expecting that kind of a delay. So we had some interesting times during the last couple of hours of our flight from Oman.
I need to ask, so what did you do if you didn't have diapers?
We ran to the bathroom a lot and used the sink.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Luckily, we got all the mess out of the way before you know, all the bad stuff, all the bad potty stuff was just done. So it's just, you know, a little splash of water just to clean everything up. Like I wasn't washing my child in the sink. No, that's disgusting. Like, but so, I was using, you know, if you use the the toilet paper.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Things, I just, and everything is good, right?
I mean, because, you know, and here I am, like full on brushing my teeth and gurgling and washing my throat up in the sink. And
you're changing your kit.
I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I would never do that.
Yeah, the worst water ever.
I know. I'm just joking. okay, and then how are you? I mean, on the plane, the first time, your youngest, he was all like flipping out. He wanted to be with mom. But in general, like, what are you doing with kids on the plane to keep them occupied? Because that's like a long flight, like 8 hours. Like, I don't know what to do with myself for 8 hours sometimes.
Yeah, and it really depends on the kid. I mean, every kid's different. Some, like, my oldest will just sit down and chill out and, you know, have a nap, whatever. He's great at just chilling out and having a good time. My youngest, he was more of a, hey, let's just walk up and down the aisles and give everyone high fives, because that's super awesome.
I can totally see him doing that.
Yeah, he's that kid. He's like, hey, let's find out if these people in the seat behind me will play hide and go seek or peekaboo with me. They won't? Okay, I'm going to go to the next seat and I'm going to try it with them.
And you know, and the thing is that your kids are absolutely adorable. So the younger one, I'd be like, yes, okay, this is cute for about 5-10 minutes. Okay, now I've had enough now. Yeah. I want to watch my movie. Leave me alone.
Yeah. But you know what? They'll watch a movie. You know, most planes have kids movies, family movies, cartoons.
In-flight entertainment and stuff like that.
In-flight entertainment. If not, we'll bring in an iPad or something like that and let the kids watch. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, airplane time is time that we will never get back. It's just that time where you shut your brain off and just try to make it through. And so we don't push our kids to do too much. Just let them chill out and relax as much as possible.
Okay. I usually actually work on blog posts on the plane. I find that's the best time for me to do writing.
I don't know. I don't know how you do it. I can't get my elbows in there without elbowing the people next to me. So
I mean, you know, I like my tech stuff. I have that little folding keyboard that I have my phone and it all fits in the thing, so I'm good. Okay, and then how are you preparing them when you get to a completely different country with regards to safety and staying with you and experiencing new things? I know it's all fun, but how do you keep safety in mind? Do you follow the same kind of rules that you would here, or?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely tighter when we're in a new country, especially when we're in busy places. It's not very rare for us to be in very challenging environments because we do a lot of hiking and exploring. One of the things I remember from Jordan specifically, we're in Petra and we're in this place called the High Place of Sacrifice, which is a little temple at the top of some cliffs, and it's like 1,000-foot drop straight down on either side of this little narrow walkway. We're walking across it, and you know, my youngest son, being the free spirit that he is, doesn't, you know, he was like, oh, dad wants me to hold his hand here, so I'm not going to do it. Yeah. And so I'm basically making sure that everywhere I was less than one step away from him, just in the off chance that he decided to go one way or the other. And so there's challenges like that, and that's just a matter of staying close and you know, kind of following the same rules that you would when you're crossing the street with a little one.
Right.
As far as personal safety and stuff like that, we've never really come across anything that has had us scared about any of the people that we've seen. Everyone, in fact, quite the opposite. We found that everyone has been absolutely amazing about us traveling with children. And that's a story for another podcast. When we lost our son in Uruguay.
Oh, gosh. So why didn't you submit that story?
I'm making sure you'll have me back as a guest again, Chris.
Oh, come on. You know that I'm going to have you back for a guest. I know that you have. The thing about having travel bloggers on this podcast is that each one of us have like a million horror stories. So I'll have episodes for days. It's not a problem.
But yeah, I mean, for things like that, losing kids is really my biggest fear. probably because it has happened once before. So what we do, we carry these little tile things on our kids. We're testing out like GPS trackers and things like that that we can use with them to keep them so that they can have some form of independence while they're there, but we also can keep track of them just in case they get too independent. And, so that's always a fear. And that's just a matter of kind of making sure that you keep them close and that they understand the rules. And we always talk about rules when we're traveling. You guys aren't allowed to go where we can't see you. You're not allowed to go where, you know, obviously if someone comes up and talks to you, you come and get us first, and then we'll be happy to join that conversation with you. But for the most part, we found traveling with kids is just an awesome, one of the best ways to meet people. I mean, we have met some of the coolest people just because they think our kids are cute, and that's awesome.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So you set those rules up like throughout the trip, like from the time you leave, when you get there, and when you're out to explore for the first day, you just kind of set those rules, and these are the rules, and this is what we're going to do.
That's right. So as soon as we start talking about the trip with them, because we always talk about the trip, we want to make sure that they know where they're going. We want to make sure that they know what makes this place special and why we're going there and what we're going to
do. So they're part of the trip planning, actually.
100%. In fact, sometimes they'll even choose the destination for us. I mean, I remember we went to Argentina because my oldest son is obsessed with penguins, so he wanted to see penguins for his birthday. Right. So we found that was the best place to see penguins that was not like heading into Antarctica, which was too expensive for us. So instead we went to this awesome place in Argentina called Punta Tombo, which is down in the Patagonia region. And there's this colony of like, you know, a million penguins, and it was just incredible. You could walk all around them on these boardwalks, and it's totally crazy.
That's cool. I'm jealous of that, because I know you also got some fantastic pictures of whales and stuff too. So,
oh yeah, we saw everything down there. It was incredible. What a great trip that was. You know what? The biggest tip I have is that horror stories are horror stories, and they happen. They become part of the story, and it's always the story that you come back with that makes the trip so unforgettable in the future. It's what makes people like you keep asking about them, and I know you've got amazing stories of your own, and so just make it part of the experience. Don't let it get you down. Make it into a good time and laugh about it, you know, a few weeks later. Not at the time.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank you so much for being here. Where can people find you? Like, I'm going to put it in the show notes, but where can people find you?
Yeah, if you're interested in traveling with kids and you want to hear more about my stuff, you can find me at wanderingwagars.com. That's WAGARS. And pretty much all the major social media channels under Wandering Waggers, or just swing by, say hi. Love to have a chat.
Awesome. Wicked. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Kev.
Thanks, Chris. Anytime.
All right. Case closed. That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget that you can listen to this show over at www.travelhorrorstoriespodcast.com. And if you're listening on your mobile device, please take a second to give the episode a 5-star rating and leave a comment. It really helps the show and its episodes get discovered by more people. Plus, your feedback will help me tweak and change the show to make it the best show on the internet. Yes. Cheers.